He didn't understand it. And so what did he do? He didn't sulk and say, oh man. He said, I'm going to pray. And he prayed, friends. He cried out to God. He looked for wisdom and direction from God. And it's through this experience we see in Daniel some steps that we too can take to pray long with persistence. This is the fourth sermon in prayer. We started 5 weeks ago when we said that God said in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, he says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. And then we start talking about prayer for the last 4 weeks. This is the final one, friends. And what I learned from Daniel, the first step we need to take to pray long, friends, is to remove distractions. How many times have you gone to pray when you start wondering about other stuff? Come on now. Is it only me? In Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation, vision was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. Now Daniel starts talking. He says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Daniel had received a vision from God, friends, about the future. And we are told that it troubled him so much that he cried out to God for 3 weeks. We see evidence of that in what he ate and drank. Remember, Daniel was a leading official in the kingdom of Babylon. And he had at his the power of his office to use at his discretion. That meant he had the finest food and the finest drinks available to him. He had all the comforts of life that are at his disposal that very few people had. And yet he abstained from it all so that he wouldn't be distracted in seeking the wisdom of God. One of the major obstacles we have in prayer, friends, is distraction. It's distraction. It's so easy to get sidetracked in our prayers because we get distracted by what's going on around us. We can have good intentions about prayer, but when it comes to time to make time for prayer, we fall short. Why? Because we are not willing to make sacrifices necessary to talk to God. We'd rather be doing things in our own power instead of taking things to God and relying on his power. And when we do that, we actually put in more faith and trust in ourselves instead of God. We put ourselves in a position of being master, and we relegate God to the position of servant. When there's a problem, we try to handle it ourselves. Now, there's nothing wrong in taking the initiative, but when we take the initiative without the power of God behind us, friends, we're just setting ourselves up for failure and settling for much less than what God wants to do. In Proverbs 19, verse 21, many are the plans in the man's heart, But it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Friends, Satan is going to do whatever he can to get our attention directed away from God. Do you agree with that? We have to remember that Satan is a deceiver. And in 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan himself masquerades as the angel of light. Satan will distract us with good things to keep us from the best things. He's the leader of the darkness in this world, but he covers it all up and makes it look good to us so that we are deceived. The one area that he'll do this, friends, is in our prayer life. Satan will distract us from calling out to God for his help and leadership. What are the distractions that are keeping you from calling out to God, friends, in prayer? Perhaps it is putting your prayer on hold until the end of the day when you're all worn out and tired. How many of you have fallen asleep in the middle of a sentence while praying? You're just tired, man. It could be distracted by the TV programs or the cell phone or the internet. I've got no problem with these things. But these things can distract us, isn't that so? With sport, with work. Friends, that distracts us and takes time away from interacting with God. I look at Daniel and see that he was willing to lay aside his distractions, be it the comforts of life, entertainment, fine food, wine, whatever, so that he could give full attention to seeking God. So the first step, friends, we take to pray long is to remove distractions. Secondly, the second step we need to take to pray long is to understand, friends, that support comes with prayer. In verse 4 to 11, Daniel says, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Upaz around his waist. His body was like topaz. His face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like a gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep. Another version says I fainted, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Friends, as Daniel prayed for direction and guidance and insight concerning the vision he had, something unusual happened to him. He was standing on the banks of the Tigris River when he saw a man standing there who obviously wasn't just some regular fellow. Look at the description. He had a belt of gold. His body was like topaz. His face was like lightning. His eyes were flaming torches, and his voice was the sound of a multitude. What was that all about? It's interesting, friends, that another description similar to this one is found in the Bible. It's found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 to 16. Is it 1? Let's check that out. John says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstand was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash across his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. You see the similarities, friends? You see that, friends? Who is this? Well, this is Jesus. This is Jesus Christ. I believe in our text, the vision Daniel describes is Jesus. And what is he doing here? Well, I think he came to support Daniel in response to the prayer he had been offering up to God. Look at verse 12. It says, he said, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, your prayers were heard, and I've come in response to them. Isn't that lovely, friends? Firstly, the Lord responds to Daniel by saying, do not be afraid. There's a lot of different things in our world that are pretty scary. Health issues, poor economy, unemployment, relational problems, and strained relationships. And a lot of us feel alone and afraid and abandoned. Sometimes we wonder if God even knows and cares what's going on. But friends, listen. We commanded not to be afraid. Why? Because as we humble ourselves before God, the Lord comes to our side. Jesus is with you, no matter what you're going through. It's important we notice that Daniel had humbled himself before God. And friends, it was then that his prayers were answered. If your prayers don't seem to be getting higher than the ceiling, it could be something stopping it. Or perhaps it's a sin in our lives that we need to confess to God and turn away from. David said in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin is like static. You know, Helen and I were driving along the other day, and she was on the phone with Tegan, and it was breaking up. She's losing the signal. And that's what sin is. It's like static. It's like a poor reception. And it creates a barrier in communication between you and God. But here's a really neat thing, friends. When the line is opened and you talk to God, he not only hears you, he sends support. He sends support. I think it's important for us to see this because, friends, There are times we feel as though we're all alone. And our prayer life has actually become an act of desperation as we try to get God's attention. And when we don't feel like anything is happening, we want to quit praying. What can really encourage you, friends, is to know that support is on the way when you pray. And if you pray believing that God sending support, it makes it much easier to hang in there. Hang in there. In 1957, at John Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, psychobiologist Kurt P. Richter experimented with drowning rats. He put rats in a dish of water with sides too high for climbing and the water too deep for standing. All the rats could do was swim. And after a few minutes, the rats would stop swimming and drown. But when Richter removed the rats from the dish, when they stopped swimming just before they drowned, he removed them. Later, he subjected them to the same experiment, and he found that the rat could swim more than 24 hours. As they waited to be rescued, the rats that drowned a few minutes could have swam much longer. They simply gave up because they saw no hope. People need hope, the same as those rats did. Hope keeps us going when times are hard. But when we know that help is on the way, it makes it easier for us to hang in. I want you to know that when you pray, friends, support is coming. So the first step we need to take when we pray long is to remove distractions. I always say, hell, just phone Young and ask her for something. She says she won't answer the phone. Why? Young's in prayer. Remove distractions. The second step to understand is to understand, when we pray long, is to understand that support comes with prayer. And then the final step, friends, we take to pray long is to trust that God will answer prayers. Amen? To trust that God will answer prayers. Verse 12 to 14. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." But listen, "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, one of the chief angels, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. For the vision concerns a time yet to come." Yeah, I've come as an answer to prayer. I've come to answer your prayer. Friends, trust is a very difficult thing for a lot of people. And sometimes we lose trust and faith in God when we feel that our prayers aren't being answered. Ted Turner, you know him as a media magnate. He was a man who does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He turned away from God when his mother died because he said that he prayed for her, but she died anyway. And that was the last straw for him. Some of you may have similar experiences and cause you to doubt and even believe that there's a God who is there for you, who is not there for you, friends. Friends, hang in there, I want to say. Pray long. Don't give up. Pray persistently because God hears and answers prayer. Amen. Just by a quick show of hands, how many of you have ever had your prayers answered? Oh, wow. Well, that's nice. That's wonderful. That's encouraging. I look at Daniel and I see that he called out to God for answers. What I noticed that the answers were delayed. It didn't come immediately. Do you remember how long he prayed before he received an answer? 3 weeks, 21 days. Daniel's prayer was heard before the words even passed through his vocal cords. The Bible says right in the beginning, he mourned. But it wasn't until the 21st day that he experienced a breakthrough because of spiritual oppression. Listen, the Bible says the evil spirit known as the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted the answer coming until the 21st day. But friends, listen. What if Daniel had quit praying on day 5? Or day 10, or day 20. What if he did that? Well, if he did, he would have missed out on seeing that his prayer answered. But because he trusted that God would respond, he pressed on. Now, I know you have been praying for certain things for a long time. I know you have been praying. I tell you this all the time. My brother, who was a year or so, or two, 1.5 years older than me, he was a gangster man. He was always in fighting and carrying on. I told you I used to walk down the streets calling people out for fights. My mother continued to pray for him for years. And my other brother, him and I, were serving God from when we were teenagers. We thought, my brother's name was Greg. Greg will never become a Christian. Okay. He thought, that's it, man. Look at him, like a hooligan. But friends, listen, my mother kept praying. And when we would sit around the table with my mother, and we would say, hey, mom, you know, we're just losing all hope. No, God's going to answer prayer. Let me tell you something. My brother, he became a Christian. My brother Greg, and months later, he died. And he was only 49, turning 50. Don't give up. Listen, say, moms, listen, don't give up. You've been praying for certain things about your own life. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't quit. Trust God that he will answer your prayer. Well, just like the Israelites who circled Jericho, the city of Jericho, just like Elijah who bowed on his knees and prayed 7 times before the rain came. If you stop praying before the breakthrough, you're going to forfeit the miracle. Did you say that? Say that again, Pete. Okay. If you stop praying, if you give up before the breakthrough, you're going to forfeit the miracle. Friends, We all have the tendency, come on now, to give up on something just after a few days when we don't get results. But Daniel hung in there and continued to seek God. Why? Because he believed that God was going to answer him. He was persistent in his prayers, and God rewarded him for that. Daniel didn't just pray when he had a bad day. He prayed every day. He didn't pray when he was in the lion's den only. Prayer was part of his life, and his life was a prayer. He approached every situation, every opportunity, every challenge, every person prayerfully. Prayerfully. It was that approach to prayer that led to one of the most unlikely rises in power in political history. Think about it. How does a prisoner of war become the prime minister of a country? And that same country took him captive in the first place. Do we need to be persistent in our prayer because God can't hear properly? Is it because God has to be pestered before you provide an answer? No. Jesus taught us to pray long and hard with persistence, because every time we pray, our prayers carry weight, friends. And as Daniel prayed, friends, his prayer carried more and more weight until finally the doors of heaven opened and his prayer was answered. In verse 14, it says, it's not on the screen. Now I have come to explain to you. Oh, it is on the screen. I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. Friends, listen, I desire for us to approach a prayer expecting God to answer. Expecting God to answer. And when he doesn't answer immediately, I desire for all of us, friends, to press on in our prayers, trusting that he will. We can pray long when we remove the distractions in our lives. We understand support, that support comes with prayer, and when we trust that God will answer prayers. Let us not approach prayer with a ASAP fashion, as soon as possible. No. We need to be willing to pray as long as it takes. Pray that it will take long enough and be hard enough. Why? So that God can receive the glory. Don't look for the path of least resistance. Look for the path of greatest glory. And that, friend, requires prayers for the impossible with lots of circling. Very rarely, does our first prayer request hit bullseye of God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Most prayers require have to be refined. Even the prayer that saved the nation. Remember how we started weeks ago? That the prayer that saved a generation didn't hit bullseye the first time. Honey refined his prayer request. Not for such rain have I prayed. He wasn't satisfied with the sprinkle. He wasn't satisfied with a torrential downpour. It took three times to spell out exactly what he wanted. And what did he want? The rain of your favor, your blessings, and your graciousness. This is what Honey was praying for. Friends, Honey drew a circle in the sand. And then he drew a circle within a circle, within a circle. What promises or miracles of dreams or dreams are you willing to pray long for? as long as it takes. After all, friends, some dreams should be so big that they take a lifetime to fulfill. I said George Mueller, as we mentioned him the other week, he was praying there. Besides starting an orphanage with a few pennies in his pocket, he housed and he fed over 10,000 children. And one of the things I was reading about George Mueller, he had a group of friends and he was praying every day that they will come to know Jesus. And as the time went on, in the first year, one of them became a Christian. And then he prayed another, for 3 years later, another one came. And he carried on praying and praying for his friends to become Christian. And they became, but the one fellow, he was praying all the time until the day he died. And it was at George Mueller's funeral that that one person became a Christian. Isn't that something, friends? Listen, don't give up. Don't quit. Keep circling the promise. Friends, what promise or miracles or dreams are you willing to pray long for? Remember in closing that there is nothing that God loves more than answering prayers, keeping promises, performing miracles, and fulfilling dreams. Amen. So, go ahead, friends. Pray through. Pray big. Pray hard. Pray long. Amen. Praise the Lord. See you at the prayer meeting. Amen. We're going to trust God for the mighty, mighty outpouring of his favor and blessings upon us as we pray together. Pray through. Don't give up. Be consistent. Be persistent. Pray big. Trust God for the supernatural. You might be teased and mocked and frowned upon because you are praying to God for the impossible. Hey, keep going. Pray hard. Pray long, friends. And God will hear. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, when we look at across the congregation, they all look so lovely. They're wonderful people here today and on Zoom. Lord, you know our hearts. You know the things that we have been trusting you for. You know the things that we have been crying out to you for, Lord. And it's so easy to want to give up. We must confess. We want to quit sometimes. Because it seems like there's no answer. But we thank you, Lord, today that you encouraged us to remove those things that distract us. To, Lord, to realize that you have sent support, that Jesus is with us through this time. And, Lord, that you do hear and answer prayer. Bless every head and heart that's bowed in your presence. Bless those parents who are crying out for their children. Bless those children who are crying out for their parents. Lord, save, Lord God. Deliver, set free, Lord God. You are a good God. You are awesome, Lord. And that you hear. Lord, there are others who are trusting you for other things. You know them because you have heard them. I pray that you will come through in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't the Lord lovely, friends? Praise the Lord. We're going to come to the Lord's table now, friends. As we come to the Lord's table, we take a look at the Lord's crucifixion. Fast, we take a fast at the Lord's crucifixion. We take a present look at the Lord's covenant. We take a future look at the Lord's coming again. And we take an inward look at our own lives. Paul said to the church at Corinth, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" I love that phrase. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, now we take a look at ourselves, will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of Jesus. A man ought to examine himself. So we look past to the sacrifice Jesus made, the crucifixion. We look at the present time when the Lord presents the new covenant in his blood. We take a future look that he's coming again, and we take an inward look at our lives, and we call out to God.